All right, folks, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. We're getting to the last chapter of this, the next section here of Romans that we've been looking at. I've entitled it The Bigger Picture. And I think it's because Paul is, he's concerned about his brethren, the Jews, and whether or not God has rejected them. And he's been kind of discussing that, but as he's been discussing his concern for them and God's provision for them, he's kind of giving us a bigger picture about life. Because here's the thing you and I need to understand. So as we realize the salvation that we have, okay, so first of all, if you understand what was before Christ, the reality that the world is going to hell, the world without Christ is doomed, it's condemned, and that you and I are accepted not because of what we do, and he's brought that out many times through Romans so far. It's not by our works, not by our actions, not even by your standing. Just because you came from a family where they believe in Christ doesn't mean you're okay. But the reality is it has to do with faith. And with that faith, you are accepted with God. You're justified. You are reconciled to him. You now have a relationship with him. But what I find is that even though we understand that, we got to have a bigger picture still in mind, because sometimes we operate under wrong assumptions. And Paul's really trying to deal with that in this passage here, because there are some wrong assumptions that his brethren, the Jews who are listening, the questions they have, that they have about God. And that's really what the issue is. It isn't that it's, the issue is that we get our thinking wrong about God. What do you mean, George? Well, let me give you two thoughts here. First of all, there's a tendency to view God as evil with regards to those who reject him. There's a tendency, whether we realize it or not, it's out there on the internet, I don't know. I mean, there are people who just flat out reject the Old Testament because God is a God of judgment. Look at how he wipes out these people. God is ready to just squash people. He's ready to drop the hammer. You say, really, people think that? Yeah, in fact, people in the church think that. How do you know that, George? Look at how you react when you do wrong. Some of you are terrified that God is going to drop the hammer on you. What do you mean? Yeah, he's going to discipline you. We understand that. So, for instance, in a healthy home, there with a child and a parent, there should be respect, but not and a fear of consequences. But an abusive parent goes beyond that, right? And sometimes we think of God in an abusive way with regards to us, with regards to how we are when we sin. Now, the problem is with that, we think God's ready to just drop the hammer and really deal with people who reject him. But that's not the God of the Scripture. What do you mean, George? He's going to send them to hell? Yes, but he's not sending them to hell with a smile on his face. Sometimes I get that impression from people that God is just rejoicing in people going to hell. No, he's not. In fact, I believe his heart is broken. Because over and over in the Old Testament, it tells you that he takes no delight in the destruction of the wicked. He doesn't take delight in people going to hell. That's not what he intended for us. Now, they chose their path. It's kind of like, I think you realize this when you're a parent, right? All of us, when we're younger and we have younger kids, we think we're going to write the story for our children, right? We kind of think that. We're going to write their story until they become teenagers and we realize, as much as we want to write their story, we're starting to realize we can't write their story. And then when they become young adults, you really understand you don't write their stories. Just like nobody wrote your story, right? Now, what am I saying there? The thing is that when you realize that, you have in your mind what would be best for them, and you try to guide them in that, But they make their own what? Choices, decisions. And when they choose the way they choose, you know that it's going to end up in a, maybe a bad way or something, because you've lived life and experienced it, or maybe you've experienced it yourself. But you can't write their story, right? I think that's like God. God lays out for us what he wants for us from the very beginning. But we're the ones, and people are the ones who make the decisions, right? And he allows them to make those decisions. And they face the consequences of that. And just like a parent who, when I see a child, even in my own children, making wrong decisions, I don't sit there and say, oh, man, well, they should have seen that coming. Man, I can't believe that. No, I grieve for them. I hurt for them that they have to go through that. I think that's the Lord. But the problem is that we have this tendency to think that that God is evil with regards to those who reject him. Here's the other one. God is seen as cold-hearted to his own special people. Not just to those who reject, but to his own special people. In particular,